Welcome to Modern Practice. I'm your host, Dr. Tom Villanueva, and today we continue our series on blood supply with Akiba Farber, Senior Principal at Vizient. Akiba, welcome back.
Thank you, Tom.
So we've dedicated the last two episodes on packed RBCs, but are there other issues going on with blood donations right now? Other products?
Yes. Thank you for bringing that up. I was hoping we would expand beyond red blood cells. So here we go. We talked earlier about the different components of blood. And a couple of years back, probably in the late 1980s, several companies developed a technology that allowed us to collect the individual blood component that we were seeking to collect. And by doing so, we could get a full therapeutic dose of that particular component. For example, let's talk about the platelet product. We mentioned platelets earlier when we talked about forming a platelet plug to stop bleeding. We're not talking about a hole in the heart. We're talking about surgery is complete. There's a little bit of oozing. There continues to be some oozing. The platelet plug is kind of, if I may describe it, it's kind of like that red-like fibrous gooey stuff that forms when you touch your finger and prior to the scab coming and forming. It's kind of a sticky stuff that helps stop the bleeding. That's platelets coming to the surface of your skin and helping you stop bleeding. So platelets were actually pooled. It took five whole blood donors. It took five individual donors to make a pool of platelets, which was a therapeutic dose. Today, and back in the 80s, and we use this technology very often today, we use a device, an automated device, that actually allows us to collect the unit of blood. The machine will spin the unit of blood, it will return the red cells, and it will harvest plasma and platelets. And it will do it for six or seven or eight passes. And by doing it that way, you land up with a product known as a single donor platelet. As the name implies, it came from a single donor and it's a full therapeutic dose. That product then can be transfused as one product from one donor. So the risk of exposure from multiple donors is reduced, and that product can be transfused as the product of choice to treat that particular blood dyscrasia. And those donors we call the pedigree donors. And that donor base is even smaller. That donor base is approximately 1.5% of the donor population. We call them pedigree because you're not donating red cells, you're donating platelets. You can donate more frequently. However, it does take a longer period of time. As I mentioned, you're going through the equivalent of six units of blood. The body never loses more than one unit of red cells at a time. We are harvesting the equivalent of 6 to 8 platelets, and platelets replenish themselves quicker, so you're able to donate more frequently, safely, because remember, the donation process not only harvests the product for the patient's benefit, but we want to ensure the safety and efficacy of the donor. We do not want the donor to get up and fall down. We do not want the donor to be medically compromised either. We want the donor to remain healthy and to come back and experience the blood donation in the best interest and for the benefit of the patient. So platelet-pheresis has become very popular. Plasmapheresis has become very popular for specific products. And there's actually a new product, a fibronectin product collected similarly to the cryo product, but it's even richer in fibrinogen, which helps address hemorrhagic bleeding. So that's a new product. It starts with a cryo that is either a pooled cryo and then further manufactured using a technology to make sure that it doesn't have any bacterial contamination. There are new technologies and new advancements in transfusion medicine as we speak.
That's amazing. So let's continue putting our focus on platelets right now. So I would imagine with many of the antiplatelet medications that we have several million Americans in at this moment, and I'm seeing that we tend to be a little bit more aggressive in using platelets because of them for even minor bleeds. Do we have any data to indicate if we may be not using this appropriately or that the cost benefit might not be there?
Well, if we know that a patient has developed platelet antibodies, it behooves us not to use platelets, but then to go to a more advanced platelet product like an HLA-matched platelet or cross-matched platelet. So we do know that some medications will restrict the platelets from function, so it will restrict their function. We do know that platelets, the more frequently you transfuse blood, more complications because you are exposed to antigens and therefore you'll develop antibodies. Suffice it to say you can develop antibodies to platelets. So we have other methodologies and advanced platelet products. Are we picking up on platelet dysfunction early enough? I would say we still have work to do there, but that's linked to perhaps partially additional work that we need to do to question our patients, and partially due to the fact that some of these cardiothoracic patients and some who are large platelet users and others present themselves without the benefit of any testing, obviously in a multiple trauma situation or in a patient who goes into the ER, goes for an angio and lands up going into the OR for a bypass. We haven't had the opportunity to really work up the patient. So we are going to be transfusing them the blind, wondering why platelets are not working, and then working our way up accordingly. And so technology is now available. There are two different technologies that will rapidly form and give us the ability to determine why the patient is continuing to bleed. We're literally watching a clot form by using this technology. And based on what we see, we can then manage accordingly. So platelets are still a key blood component that are needed to address bleeding. We're always in the need of that product. And let me just make you aware that unlike blood, red cells, which has a 42-day shelf life, platelets to date have a 5-day shelf life, 5 days. And it takes minimally 2 days to test that product. So within 72 hours from the time that that product is available, it needs to be transfused safely. 5 days at midnight, it dies. It goes to the garbage. And it's very important to transfuse it before it is wasted. And again, because so few people are donating platelets, and I hope that some of these discussions will lead some of the audience to donate blood. And if you've donated in the past, let me not forget to thank you. As a former blood center executive, it's my job to thank anyone and everyone, because the blood that you donate today might be used for a loved one or anyone. And we only hope and pray that you'll never need product. But if you ever do, you're going to hopefully rely on someone else like yourself to step forward and donate blood on your behalf. So the technology is helping us address which component of product to use and hopefully diagnose the problem earlier on so we can use different products to address the need and address the bleeding.
So what have we at Vizient done to address these issues with platelet use?
Okay, so platelet usage, two different things. We've recommended the technologies, and we've discovered that in some places, the technology has been purchased, but it's not being used appropriately, or it's been used indiscriminately. We work with the clinicians to understand how the technology worked, the advantages of it, how frequently to do the testing, to recognize the advantage. There are costs associated with it. If they are concerned about cost, then use it appropriately and where it's needed. And so, like everything else, you don't want technology sitting and taking up space. You don't need a new toy. You need to put it to use in the best interest of patient care. So use it appropriately and use the technology wisely. In addition, we do, as we mentioned earlier with red cells, we do look at platelet utilization. We don't want to manage to a number. As we spoke earlier, there have been historical numbers like anything less than 50,000, a 50,000 platelet count, we should transfuse platelets. No, we don't want to do that. Again, look at the stability of the patient, make sure platelets are indicated, not another component. And based on that, we help address the appropriate utilization. And double dosing of platelets was not that uncommon. It's become less fashionable. People recognize that platelets are even tighter supply than red cells more often than not, remembering, of course, that there's only a short lifespan. And if you think about it, 5 days shelf life, if someone hasn't donated on a Saturday or a Sunday, then the product that you've gotten on Friday, that was collected on Friday, is essentially dying when you receive it on Sunday or Monday. And so you've got a limited lifespan for those products, and patients are going to be going to surgery 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. So those products are needed round the clock. So again, the donor base is a limited donor base. Testing takes time. The shelf life of the product is short. So platelets are in constant demand for traumas, for cardiothoracic surgeons, for patients that are bleeding. Again, this is an elite group of donors supporting a very precious product, namely platelets.
Any parting thoughts to our listeners on some of the unique services that you offer our members here at Vizient?
Yes, I want to encourage everyone listening to this podcast perhaps to think about methodologies and ways to avoid transfusions at all costs, whether it be for yourself or for your patients that you treat or for anyone, any loved one. Remember that blood transfusion is in a sense a transplant. You want to limit the risks associated with transfusion. You want to limit the number of products that transfuse. You want to look at transfusion alternatives. And you want to educate the clinicians in a positive way, not in a negative way, which has been the Vizient way, so to speak. We look for ways to educate and drive clinical change and practice for the better. We don't want to chastise our clinicians. We want to educate. We want to improve. We want to address the limited blood supply. And we want to ensure that product supply is readily available to all those that need it. And that has been my area of interest and expertise since 1974. And I still have the passion, and perhaps it's coming through in my statements and my voice. I still have the passion to help patients as it relates to blood banking. And I think all of us should do our best to donate if possible, limit the number of transfusions, and get the appropriate education and support. And if you want to come to Vizient for that support, we're here to help you. Thank you.
Well, that's all the time we have for this episode. I want to thank Akiba Faber for joining us. It's been a great series. If you'd like to contact Akiba, we put his email address on the resource section of our podcast page. If you have any additional questions pertaining to modern practice, or even want to contact me, please contact us also at our email at modernpracticepodcast@vizientinc.com. It's also available on the resource page. And please join us for other Modern Practice podcasts on the Vizient Medical Leadership Channel. Subscribe today, like us, or send us your comments. Also listen to and subscribe to SG2 Perspectives, the podcast and the latest in healthcare strategies. I'm Dr. Tom Villanueva. Thanks for listening.